Do you crave the sacred? Do you long for connection with the beneficent all? But maybe you don't have specific religious practices that resonate with you. Maybe you don't know what to do to experience this connection. If that sounds like you, then you are going to love this episode of the Own Your Intuition show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Welcome. I just realized the other day that every single rating the Own Your Intuition show has on Spotify is 5 stars. Thank you. That is so exciting to me. I listen to my podcasts via Apple Podcasts, so I don't always go to Spotify. And I was checking to see if anyone had left a review on the show on Spotify or if that was even possible, and I couldn't find how it was. So maybe I'm mistaken, but I did see that all of the show ratings were 5 stars. So thank you. And I want to give a shout out to Katya, who sent me a comment about the recent episode of the Own Your Intuition show entitled Encouragement for the Road Less Traveled. She said, "Your podcast episode was so good today, Aimée. I always love your podcast. It's one of my faves. I love the short episodes with deep wisdom, the interviews, the meditation one, all of it. You're amazing. Thank you for being you." Aw, thank you, Katya. I love hearing from listeners. So thank you for taking the time to tell me, Katya. It means a lot. Did you know that I have the absolutely most simple decision-making tool that I know, one that is wonderfully accurate and as close as your breath, available in a free download? You've got options for this. You can go to the show notes, or you can go to aimeecartier.com and go to my freebies section. Or you can follow the links in my Instagram profile, which is at aimeecartier, to get it today. It's an intuitive decision-making tool that will help you determine your best course, and you can use it wherever you are, no prep, no props necessary, as long as you live. If you have a hard time making decisions, this is a tool that is going to make your life easier, stat. Okay, today we are going to talk about craving the sacred. Actually, we're going to talk about ways to integrate the sacred if you are craving it. This was inspired by a conversation I had recently with a friend who has not taken any of my classes yet. And the reason that is significant is because I would say the majority of women that I work with fall into the category of people who do not identify with a specific religion, and yet they crave the sacred. The sacred and the holy is not owned by religions. They are just specific pathways there, of course. But what is innate to all of us is this connection with or craving for, if you don't have specific practices that you do or know how to do, this connection with divine, source, benevolent mother, great spirit, whatever words you use to speak of this source. In my Own Your Intuition program, which is soon to be a membership and will have a different name, and I hope you will join, we spend a whole moon cycle on prayer. I'll be honest, before we dive into a myriad of prayer practices and start to experiment with them, the first thing that I suggest my students do is disentangle that word from anything in their past that may have left a bad taste in their mouth about that idea and practice of prayer. Because that certainly is the case for many people. If in their raising or their experience that word has left scars or gross residue or has meant a skinny and particular or non-inclusive path that does not resonate with their soul, then there is probably some separation to tease out with that word. Some people love the black and white box that many religions often place around this connection with source, and that is also fine, to each her or his own, absolutely. However, most of the time, those people aren't the people that come to me. Honestly, just the word psychic, which has been my profession since 2007, usually scares some people away from me. That's totally okay. Everyone has their road, and everyone has an absolute right to be on the road that feels right and best for them. But the reason that I start this way with my students is because some, especially people that are my people, sometimes they have a residue, like a gross residue, with that word, particularly prayer. So if that applies to you, then that is the place to start, to sort of tease out what is your relationship with this word. And I am going to define what I feel prayer is in a minute. So that may alone be enough for you to shift a mindset if you find there is something that needs to be shifted there. But what if you find yourself in a position of actually craving that connection to source, to divinity, with no place, no practices to do or use, nowhere to turn outside of organized religion, which does not speak to you? Well, if that is you, then this episode is for you. There is magic in prayer. It's communication with the divine. There are many different ways to pray. Almost every people's and or religions on the earth have their specific formulas. You can adopt the prayer formulas that work for you, or you can make your own. What I would like to suggest to you, which may be different than how you've thought of prayer before, is that almost anything that can be done can be or become a prayer. Prayer isn't reserved for those who practice a particular religion or something that can or must be done only in a specific temple or location. It's something that any human alive can do in many different ways, anywhere. It's your intention that makes a thing a prayer. This is Aimée Cartier and the Own Your Intuition Show. And if you just jumped in on the radio, today we are talking about prayer and practices for you, especially if you crave a connection with the sacred and don't have a particular formula. Prayer is engaging in dynamic conversation with the divine, with the mystery, with love, with great spirit, with God, goddess, with unity, with divine benevolent source, with whatever you like to call the benevolent and most powerful source of the all. I say dynamic because the conversation, the communication, is ever-changing, expansive, not static. It is responsive to the moment, your moment of now, and your moments of later. This communication, as are the moments, are ever changing. There is no one way to the divine or to communicating with it. Any and all things can lead you there. I have a bookmark that a friend gave me once. On the front, it says, "Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water." On the back, it says, "After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water." I love this bookmark for so many reasons. The first being that I personally have a hard time seeing the divine in menial tasks, especially those required for householding. So this is a wonderful reminder for me, but it also reminds me that all actions are pathways to God, to the divine, if only you allow them to be. As some of you know, I was recently in Bali this spring with my family for 6 weeks. Someone asked me recently what my favorite thing about Bali was, and my response was immediate: the prayerfulness and attention to beauty. Prayers, and beautiful ones, are everywhere in Bali, on every corner, in front of every shop, everywhere. You're literally stepping over them on the street all the time, and that is because of the way that they do prayer. In Bali, prayers are offered on this little leaf tray or like a shallow, very shallow leaf basket. And they're offered with fresh flowers and incense and some other sort of offering, and usually with a little bit of water sprinkling. So that's what I mean, where you see the prayers everywhere, because the shop owners do their prayer in the morning and their prayers are literally sitting on the ground right in front of their shop, the little baskets that you step over when you're walking down the street. And this prayer that they do every day, all the time, is not just lip service. One day, while I was in Bali, I watched the man whose job it was to clean our apartment make his prayer. I felt the energy shift when this man, whose job it was to clean, and I mean, it's not a lofty priestess or priest job. It's a job that attends to menial tasks. I know. I cleaned hotel rooms for one summer in my college years, so I know what it requires. This man, whose job it was to clean our rental, was also charged with offering prayers. I watched him as he stepped up to the shrine with his leaf basket of flowers, and I saw the energy transform around him as he said his prayers, presented his sprinkle of water, and made his offering of flowers and incense. I felt a palpable shift in the energy of the space into a almost an immediate, more peaceful and serene space, almost the moment that he closed his eyes to start the process. He was in conversation with the divine. Divinity was responding. I've lived in other prayerful places. I lived in Senegal in West Africa for a little more than 2 years, and it's a primarily Muslim area where I lived. The place where the men came to pray was just across from my home. So I heard the call to prayer many times each day. The thing that was different to me about Bali was this attention to beauty in prayer, within prayer. As I said, there are these prayers with these little tiny baskets and all kinds of woven things, and I'm just giving one example, but there are many ways that they do it, that are offered in such a beautiful way, like it pleases your eye to see them all over. While I was in Bali, I took a workshop in making these offerings, these leaf basket offerings, while I was there. And I was taught several different ways to do it and different things for different ceremony, etc. I don't remember any of the folds, like how to make any of the pieces or the basket. But I still loved sitting there with this Balinese grandmother and watching her aged and deft hands weave offerings, and her patience in showing me how, even though we had no spoken language in common. But the truth about me is that way before I was ever in Bali, I have been doing this sort of thing naturally for many years. We grow many flowers in our yard, and we have this really big rock that we can see from, it's outside of our house, of course, but we can see it from our living room windows. That is my favorite place to make prayers and offerings. One of my favorite things to do is say prayers while shaping rose petals into the shape of a heart. So I have been doing this for years and years. But what I brought home with me from Bali was more of a honing and an inspiration to do this more regularly. Because in Bali, you say your prayers with these lovely baskets of fresh flowers every day. A lot. The streets are literally littered with prayers. The beaches are littered with prayers. I saw shop owners, upon opening their stores for the day, do their prayer practice first before they began to sell their wares. So being there really re-inspired me to make more time and regular time for my prayerful offerings because, as I said, I have been doing this for years, but I just sort of do it randomly as I'm inspired. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But this trip really inspired me to make it more frequent. So I don't have a leaf basket, but I could make one, I'm sure, but I haven't and I probably won't. But I do have a crystal dish that was my grandmother's, and I load it up with fresh blossoms when I do this morning practice. It doesn't have to be in the morning. It's just that I usually do it in the morning. Another thing I do is that I often set up sort of prayer stations, if you will, around my house and yard. Because I like to burn things, my little prayer stations usually have a pretty deep pot with stones in the bottom and a plate under it, and often a plate nearby that I can use to cover the top of my pot on windy days. Because what I love to do is write prayers down and then burn them in my pot. So I make sure that they're safe, but I like to have prayerful places at the ready so that I can use them whenever I want to around our yard and property. I have another, it's sort of like this metal angel which holds something out. That one is kept by our pond, and sometimes it's another place I use to put prayer offerings, usually a little water and some fresh flowers in there. So the reason why I do this, why I have these little stations around, is because I don't want to have to spend time gathering the things that I like to do my prayers whenever I'm inspired to do it. I just like to have them at the ready. The day we were leaving Bali, I still remember on our way out, my family and I stepped over around 40, and I'm not exaggerating, leaf containers holding fresh flowers and incense that were just sitting on the side of the road where a group of children had left them that morning. Prayers in Bali are everywhere and are such a beautiful thing, in my opinion. This is Aimée Cartier, and if you are just joining us for the Own Your Intuition show, today we are talking about prayer as a sacred practice, and one that is available to every single person, whether you consider yourself part of a religion or not. And we've been talking about ideas for doing that. So you have heard already what I do regularly and what they do in Bali, what was inspiring to me about how they offer prayers in Bali. But whether or not that inspires you, or whether you have those things together or not, one thing you might not have considered is that a song can also be a prayer. The group Beautiful Chorus has many songs that are already like prayers. If you need inspiration there, you can find them on their website. You can find them all kinds of places. But you can also either sing your own, make up one, or sing another song that feels prayerful to you. I have a student who, during the moon cycle, when we were diving into the multitude of ways to pray, she started walking to the river close to her house and singing a song to the river in prayer. You might sing to your yard, to your plants, to the water you drink, to your own self, to your children. It's also very healing for nervous systems to sing. So maybe you haven't thought of the fact that you could turn your own voice in song into a prayer. I'm going to share just in the idea, of course, with inspiring you for more sacred practices. I'm going to share two of my favorite prayers. And the first one is, I let go, and so it is. Amen. I let go, and so it is. Amen. Isn't that one so good? I just love it when I find myself trying too hard. And if you find yourself in that position, I also have a podcast episode for you, number 70. And so listen to that if you're inspired or if you find yourself trying too hard. But that is a very lovely prayer that I love. Another prayer, one of my favorites, is something I learned from author and publisher Mark Allen. He calls this his divine insurance clause. And this phrase is often something that I will put at the end of a prayer in which I am making a request or where I am defining something that it is that I want or I'm looking for. And it goes like this. This or something better is now manifesting in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all. Isn't that lovely? I'm going to say it one more time. This or something better is now manifesting in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all. So that's, I love that one. And that's a sort of prayer that you can put at the end of maybe you're writing an affirmation, or maybe you're doing prayer as, maybe you're not even doing it so much as an ask, but you're stating, this good thing is happening. This is what I want to call forth, etc. And then you can put that phrase on the end of it. Another one of my favorite prayers, and one of the most simple and lovely, is simply thank you. I recently had a friend tell me that she says prayers of gratitude the moment that she opens her eyes in the morning in bed. While she is still laying in bed, she will say thank you for whatever comes to her. Thank you for my cozy bed. Thank you that I get to see this person today. Thank you for the blue sky. Whatever comes to her mind, that is her prayer practice. Isn't that so lovely? Meta prayers are also something that comes to mind when I think of prayers. These are prayers like, may all beings be free. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings awaken to the light of their true nature. You can look up some meta prayers on the internet if that is inspiring you, or you can make them up on your own, incorporating whatever you most wish for yourself and humanity, for example. And you might try this. Instead of looking at your phone the next time you are waiting in line, as most of us do, try reciting a meta prayer over and over in your mind instead. See how you feel afterward. I would guess it's going to be better than how you feel after scrolling your phone, whatever you're doing on there. So you see, those are just a few of myriad of ways that you might start to incorporate the sacred into your life if you find yourself craving that innate connection that you have with divinity, which is not attached to any religion. So I hope this inspires you. Let me know what practices sing to you. If you're motivated, you know that I love hearing from listeners. And, or if you have practices that you already like to use, or that you just made up after hearing this, I love hearing your examples. So you can do that through my website, amecartier.com, or just send me a DM or comment on Instagram. That's another way. So as you go forth and make your own sacred practices, the thing that I want to underscore yet again is this. No one owns prayer or your pathway to the divine. You, in fact, get to define what is sacred and meaningful to you. Furthermore, I would say that this defining is a good place to start if you find yourself craving that connection to the beyond, which is your birthright. Define your God, Goddess, Spirit, Divine. What moves you? You don't have to get in someone else's box. You can be on your own road that is perfect for you. If it speaks to you like it does to me, you can start in your yard, cutting flowers with gratitude, lighting a candle, writing down your prayers, burning them in a safe space, and ringing a bell, and putting your flowers in a pretty shape. Those are all the things that I do. That can be your sacred practice. You get to choose, and that is my point here. No one else holds your connection to the divine. This connection to the divine already belongs to you. It is the place from which you came. It is the place from which you will return. And it is available to you at any moment, just like the air you breathe. So if you find yourself in a place of longing for the sacred, for the holy, for this awesome, beneficent, energetic experience, then prayer is available to you right now. It is a dynamic conversation with the divine and can also be uber creative and fun and inspiring in the making. So, if it inspires you, go forth and pray in your own way. All my love. This is Aimé Cartier, and you have been listening to the Own Your Intuition show. If you want to deepen your connection with the divine and knowing the power you already have to do so, and you want to do so in community, then you should be in my membership. You should have that on your radar. We will be starting at the very beginning of October, and the doors to join will open at the end of September. So look for it, begin to ruminate on it, and jump on my list. Download some of my freebies. You'll be the first to know then. It's going to be good. As always, you can find out more about me and my work at aimecartier.com. Toodles.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give.